God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today's the 6th day of June, 2010, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Our sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled The Spirit-Filled Life. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Seeds we have sown will then be made known, and the joy shall fill our raptured souls that day. Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face and thank Him for amazing grace. Oh, what a moment when we see Him. Oh, what a moment when we see
Amen. That'll be a good day. Praise the Lord. Well, Acts chapter 2 is where we're going to be at this morning and tonight, as we have begun a little bit of a journey of learning about the Spirit-filled life and what that means. We started with an excellent spirit. Last week, we began looking at John chapter 14 and the Comforter, and now we're in Acts chapter 2. And for several weeks and maybe even a month or two, we want to take a look at the Spirit's working in our life. And I want to clarify there, that we understand what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God literally changing us, literally being a part of our life. And I'm telling you, sometimes, especially in Baptist churches, we don't understand fully the working of the Holy Spirit. Or as I said last week, we avoid it because there are groups that take it to extremes that we don't agree with. But the fact of the matter is, you and I need the Holy Spirit of God filling our lives. Matter of fact, when it's there, you'll notice a difference. We're going to see that in Acts chapter 2. As we get into Acts chapter 2, what you're going to see is, for those that are familiar with it, what an amazing service. Wow. I like going to church, okay? Well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to, okay? But I do. I like church. I do. And when I show up to church, I like to show up and know that the Spirit of God is there. I'll just tell you, one of my prayers every Sunday morning is, Lord, would you fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit, and would your Spirit have freedom to work at Central Baptist Church. That we don't just show up and put in a time card. We don't just show up for church and leave. God, move among us, change us as only you can change us. And I realize for some of you that doesn't happen every week and so forth, but isn't it nice when it does? Isn't it pretty exciting when you have one of those services and it's like, wow, I mean, what was different? Well, we sang and we preached and sang and the service order was the same, but something was different. Something changed. What? The Spirit of God showed up. Okay, the Spirit of God had freedom to move and great things happened. In Acts chapter 2, what a service, wow. I mean, Peter stands up. We're going to see all of a sudden him and the apostles have the gift of tongues cast upon them. I mean, it is the introduction or the manifestation of the Spirit in their life like you've never seen before. And I mean, that time is just a mighty powerful impression that comes and 3,000 people get saved. Hey, when 3,000 people get saved, that's a good service. I tell you what, you come to Central Baptist Church, we have one saved. We're like, that's a good service. If no one else got anything out of it and someone got saved, we're like, amen. We had two young men saved this last week, praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for that. That's an exciting week for us. We get excited about stuff like that. Why? Because it's about people finding Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit as part of their life. Well, that's what's happening here in Acts chapter 2. And I want to look at it with fresh eyes as we take a look at Acts chapter 2 this morning. Stand, if you would. Acts chapter 2. As we give honor unto God's word, I tell you what, looking forward to today and tonight as we just learn what it means to be Spirit-filled. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, let's look at the reading here of this exciting service. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? I'd be like saying, aren't these people from Ponca City? You know, who are they? What do they know? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Perga and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. In other words, they're drunk. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But it is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And the young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word and how it energizes our spirit even to read it, Lord, because our spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit inside of us. And Lord, we thank you for it today, Lord. May we not just be putting in our time, but Lord, may we have church. May we have the Spirit of God filling us, illuminating our minds and our spirits to move in the way you want us to move. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What an amazing day. I tell you what, I like to look at the Spirit of God and the Spirit-filled life. And I got to be honest with you. You'll want to be here through the month of June as we go through this. The Spirit-filled life is not something that you can just pick out one verse, one passage and say, here it is. It's not like a listing either. It's not like I can give you A, B, C, D and go home and just by rote do these things and suddenly whammo, I have the Spirit of God. It doesn't work that way. It is literally a lifestyle, okay? The spiritual life is a lifestyle. It's a journey that you go on, and as you grow in your walk and as you grow in the spirit and you begin to learn, suddenly God just begins to do a great work in you. Brother Ron, could you adjust the air, maybe turn it up a little bit? I've got people getting icicles and freezing on me. How many are totally frozen? How many are totally hot? Yes, good, okay, 50-50. Let's go up a degree or two there. But in this, yeah, it's hard to preach when people are going, you can't do that with your face. It throws me off. I lose my concentration when you're doing that. You know, so you got to bring a jacket or something, but stop that. But as you look at this, and we talk about the Spirit of God moving, some of you are going, I'm filled with the Spirit right now. I'm just tingling all over. No, that's the cold air. Let me help you right now. We do that so you at least have that feeling, okay? Amen. Well, I want to talk about, first of all, how the Spirit is manifested at Pentecost. And we're going to go on this journey and look at how he was manifested here. It's an amazing thing. Matter of fact, the very words, look at verse 7, says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another. I mean, they were amazed, they were marveled when the Spirit was manifested. I looked at this and several things happened. In the first few verses, we see a mighty rushing wind. You're familiar with that, came in. We see all of a sudden cloven tongues. They began to speak in a way they've never spoken before. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. So you want to come back tonight as we talk a little bit about tongues this evening and what the Bible says about it. But all of a sudden, people began to rush into the area. And as they rushed into the area, they said, hey, these Galileans, these common, if I can say it, unlearned, ignorant men, you know, they weren't the educated type. They're speaking fluently in our language. And I can understand what they're saying. And as Peter gave the message, they interpreted in those languages, and 3,000 people got saved. And people said, wow, what a day. I mean, it was amazing. The people were amazed. They were shocked. They couldn't believe what they were saying. Whenever the Holy Spirit manifests himself, I'm telling you, powerful things happen. You need to understand that. When the Spirit of God comes in, things change. It's not the same. If you want to know if the Spirit of God is in your life, let me help you. Things change when he shows up. Always, when I got saved, the Bible says I became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. That's what happens at salvation. Matter of fact, I got a new spirit. I got a new desire. Everything began to change in my life. And after that, every time I'm filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? Things change. You get the Spirit of God one time. We had that message last week. One time in your life. When you get saved, you're sealed by the Spirit of God. But the Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit of God as well. So although he already indwells inside of me, we still need his filling on a continual basis. And here we see him manifested in a powerful way. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects. You can see the cloven tongues, but more important than that, you can see the effect that it had on people. It was an amazing thing. But I want you to understand something, and we need to look at this real quick. If you follow the story, even though most were amazed, jump down if you would in verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Verse 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. I want you to understand something, folks. Whenever the Holy Spirit begins to move, not everybody will get excited. There are always those who mock. Are you aware of that? There are always those who look at Christianity and will mock what's taking place in Christianity. There's always a group of scorners, deriders, as you would say. Those who look down, who don't understand, who don't get it. And since they don't get it, they talk down about it. Because since they're not educated in something, they make fun of it. They make light of it. You know, in Acts 17, the Bible says they mocked the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you follow your Bible, when Jesus was crucified, they mocked Jesus. Mocking is not new. And not only is it not new then, let me help you real quick. It's not new today. There are those that come even to Central Baptist Church who mock the things of God, who think this is silly and this is crazy, and I'm just coming because either my parents make me or my spouse makes me, but this Christianity stuff, it's just not real. Let me help you. It's real. And just because you don't get it, you don't understand it, let me help you. It's more real than you can ever imagine. But I want you to understand, just because most people were amazed and most people got it, not everybody will. And if you're here today and you don't get Christianity, the worst thing you're going to do is mock it. The best thing you're going to do is to submit to it and find out what it's all about. Because I'm telling you something, the Holy Spirit of God has something you need, something that you need in your life. The fact of the matter is, folks, don't be upset with mockers. You know when I see someone mocking, you know what I realize? Besides being unlearned and ignorant and uneducated in spiritual things, most of the time when you find a mocker, there's something consistent. They're lost. they're lost. You say, why? They don't possess the Spirit of God. They don't understand the things of God. Even those who claim to be saved, claim to know God. I'm going to tell you something. You'll see a thread that follows mocking in the Word of God. Those who mock are those who don't possess that Spirit of God. The fact of the matter is, folks, when you have the Spirit of God, you don't mock. It's an exciting thing. It's a wonderful thing to have the Spirit of God. You can't beat it. So we look at this and we see as we come down the mocking and the attacking and so forth. And I want to read you just one verse along that line, just one area of warning. In Proverbs 1, 24 through 26, the Bible says this, "Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and I would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." Can I just tell you something, folks? Listen, more than anything else in your life, you need the Spirit of God in your life. And you don't want to be the person that mocks and laughs at Christianity. Because the Bible says if you do that long enough, one day, God says, I'll mock at you. And I'll laugh at your calamity. Because the fact of the matter is, God has a plan. And it's already preset right here. We know what's going to happen. One day, he's coming back. Amen. One day, we live forever in heaven. And it's only those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today, you don't know how to go to heaven. Let me tell you something. It's nothing to mock. It's something you need. It's something you need. And you're in a place of people that won't mock you today. You're in a place of people that will love you and support you in spiritual things and will rejoice if you finally yield to the Spirit of God and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior the way it ought to be. But interesting enough, as we look at that, I want to go a little bit farther and talk about how we know that the Spirit is manifested in our life. If you jump down, you take a look here at Acts chapter 2, there was an interesting, perception here. In verse 12, it says, some were amazed, some doubted. Verse 13, others mocked and said, these men are of new wine. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwelt Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Interesting, those that mock, one of the things that they noticed was this, these guys are acting like they're drunk. They're like drunk people. You ever seen a drunk person? Yeah, when I was growing up, we used to love drunk people when we went to ball games. There was nothing better than a drunk person at a ball game. Why? Because they were stupid. If the ball game was boring, you just watched the drunks. You know, they're standing up, can't, you know, slurring, they're speaking, hey, go do something. We loved it as kids. One of my favorite times, there were some drunks that were up above us in the section above. They were taking dollar bills and making airplanes and throwing them. That was a good drunk day for us, man. You can't hit me. You can't hit me. I hit the little kid, man. That was great. We got rich that day. It was a wonderful thing. But interesting, they're looking at these guys and they said, you're drunk. And Peter said, no, it's the morning. It's 9 a.m. It's not what you think. The fact of the matter is they're not drunk. Well, what's happening? They seem to be drunk. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. This morning, I want to look at especially Ephesians chapter 5, as we look at this statement about them being drunk. They perceived that they must be drunk because of the way that they were acting. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul uses that same philosophy here in verse 18. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What an interesting philosophy. In other words, in Acts, when the Spirit first showed up and came upon men and women, the Bible says it was as if they were drunk. And then you come to Ephesians and Paul says, hey, don't be drunk with wine, the same comparison, but be filled with the Spirit of God. First of all, you need to understand something. There is a comparison to being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. You say, what is it? There's only one. There's an influence upon the individual. That is the comparison. You say, what are you saying? When somebody is drunk, they've been influenced by spirits, but not the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. It's still a spirit, but it's the wrong one. And those spirits that come upon them and they make it where they can't think straight and act straight and they act silly and do stupid things and foolish things. And it's not something that we admire. You know what I'm saying? We make fun. Matter of fact, it's something we mock. That's why they were mocking them. They thought they're drunk guys. You mock drunk people, folks. You don't lift them up. You don't respect them. You mock them. Why? What foolishness. So you come to Ephesians 5, and some people have interpreted this verse to say, well, I guess to be filled with the Spirit means we got to be like we're drunk people. So I guess we got to come into this, in the church, and You'll go to churches and they'll play music for 45 minutes and people will start moving around and doing crazy stuff and they just kind of act crazy. And when you talk to them, they say, I'm just filled with the Spirit. And I always say, you might be, but it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a different spirit. See, they're trying to generate some type of emotion, you know, and they're gyrating and they're moving around. They're like, yeah, because the Bible says that we're supposed to act like we're drunk. The Bible doesn't say that. Read the verse. It says, be not drunk with wine. But it's not so much comparison. It's a contrast. It's a contrast. As you would see somebody who is influenced by spirits that would make you do things you shouldn't do, it says instead you should be influenced by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's sanity and there's clarity and there's power that comes that way. And what I'm here today to talk to you about being filled with the Holy Spirit is we don't want you to act drunk. Because if you do, I'm going to pretend like I don't know you. Okay, we're not asking you to act crazy. Being filled with the Spirit of God has never been somebody out of their mind, uncontrolled. You don't see that in the Word of God. I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to see the exact opposite as we run through the Word of God. You're going to see people filled with the Spirit of God with dynamic power of the Holy Spirit changing them in a mighty way. And they're speaking and they're teaching the things of God in a powerful way, not a negative way. And they're in their right mind when they do it. That's the Spirit of God. You see, it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Somebody smarter than me broke this down. And I want to share this with you. I thought they did it real good. Dr. Scott, not Kelsey. I'm not saying that he couldn't. I just wanted to clarify in case you think I'm stealing his notes. But Dr. Scott broke it down this way, Ephesians 5:18. It says there's four helpful observations. Let me share them with you real quick. I'm going to give you a little bit of the syntax here of the verse. We don't normally do this, but I think it's very powerful to help us understand. First of all, Ephesians 5:18 is a command. Look what it says here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. He said, first of all, you have to understand, it is a command, now listen, of every believer to be filled with the Spirit of God. Are you aware of that? Now, if you're saved, you already have the Spirit of God. He indwells you. That's not what we're talking about. The filling is where he empowers you to serve him and do special things. And it's a command that you seek that all the time. You should be constantly seeking, saying, I want to be filled with the power of God. Number two, he wrote this. It's a verb. It's in its plural form, which means it's not just for one. Never was the filling of the Holy Spirit for one person. Never was it just for the apostles. If you look, the whole church was impacted by the Spirit of God. Hey, you know what? The filling of the Holy Spirit isn't just for your pastors. Are you aware of that? It's not just for your deacons. Are you aware the Holy Spirit's filling is for your life as well? As a matter of fact, every believer that comes through these doors that claims to be a Christian ought to be seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God every single week. And especially on Sundays when you come in to worship God. Then he says this, it's in the passive voice, which means it did not say fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. It's something that the Spirit of God does. I love John 15:4-5. We looked at that last week, but I'll remind you. You cannot be filled with the Spirit of God yourself. It's not like you push a button, turn on a switch. You say, well, how does it happen? Well, I think first of all, you ask for it. But I think there is one particular thing you can do to help yourself be filled with the Spirit of God. In John 15:4-5, it says this, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You know, it's a good prayer for every believer. Probably getting up every day would be this. Before you have your first cup of coffee, before you get dressed, it would probably be good if we'd say, dear Lord, here's another day. And Lord, I'm asking, I'm begging, I'm needing you to fill me with your Spirit today. I want to do only what you want me to do. I want to say only what you want me to say. I want to go only where you want me to go. And Lord, I'm just making myself available. And Lord, if you'll use me today, if you'll work with me today, I'll do whatever you want. What a great prayer, something like that. I've heard of people that pray that way. And it's not that the exact words are necessary. That's why I didn't put them up on the board. You don't need to write them down. Oh, I got to pray that exact word to get the Spirit. No, it's just a willingness that says, I want to be filled. I want God in my life. I want the Spirit of God, not just on Sunday, but every single day to guide me, to show me his will, to help me. I need that. It's a desire that needs to be there. And then he said this, the command is a present tense, which means this, it's a continuous appropriation. In other words, It's not a once-in-a-lifetime moment. That happens when you get saved, the Spirit comes in. But listen, you can be filled with the Spirit this week, and by next Sunday, you're not filled with the Spirit. You can have a day where things are going good, and you feel the Spirit of God moving in your life, and next week, not. You say, why? Because if you're not willing to stay close to God and get in His Word and get on your knees and pray, then guess what? Even though the Holy Spirit is there, because we said last week, everybody has Him, you're not going to see the effects of the Holy Spirit unless you allow Him to work in your life. So let me ask you a big question. As we go through this journey this morning and tonight and for the weeks to come, how do you know if the Spirit of God's working in your life? Now, one little hint I give you is just stay close to God. Abide in me. You stay close to the things of God and the Word of God, and there's a lot better opportunity that you'll be filled with the Spirit of God, okay? That's a good hint. But so you're doing it. He said, how do you know? Well, you're in Ephesians chapter 5, correct? Look at verse 19. We usually stop at verse 18 there, and we say, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But we don't continue on. I want to give you three ways that you can know today that the Spirit is really filling your life. Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, one of the first things I noticed that when, according to the Word of God, when someone has the Spirit of God, because look at verse 18. See a little semicolon there? It's a continuation here. It didn't just stop and a new sentence begin. He says, be filled with the Spirit of God. And then he says, speaking. What do you mean speaking? Well, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, something will happen. You sing. What do you mean I sing? Okay. One of the ways your pastor knows that you come to church ready for church is you sing. Yeah. I'm sitting up on the platform and I'm looking out. And when I see this, joy to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Can I say rejoice? Everybody singing, you're going. Let me tell you the first thing it tells me. You're not ready for church. And you say, why? Listen, some of you don't know this, but I don't sing real well. That's a surprise, I know. You say, how do you know? Did you see me sing in the trio? Did Andy and Brenda ask me to sing with them? It's because they're wicked. That's not my specialty. But I love to sing. I sing all the time. Most people tell me to shut up all the time. But I sing all the time. You say, they tell you to stop it, but you keep singing. Why? I love to sing. Is it because you can't sing? No. 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 I thought about trying out for that American Idol. I'm guaranteed to be one of the bloopers. I'm telling you right now. Look, that's Pastor Wood. I don't even know him. No, I don't know him. But you just sing. You say, why do you sing? I tell you what. One of the reasons you sing unto the Lord is because the Spirit of God moves you to do so. Speaking with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Why would I do that? Because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Man, you're at work and all of a sudden you're singing a little tune at work. And you're like, what? You know, people are going to look at you like you're drunk. Yeah, exactly. You're weird. Why? Why are you doing singing at work? Nobody sings at work. We hate this place. Ah, it's not the best place, but isn't God great? And when you turn around, they're going to mock you and go, aren't you weird? Say, what do I do? Keep singing. Why? I'm just telling you, one of the ways that you know that the Spirit is working in your life is He gives you a song. You don't have to know how to sing. You just got to sing it. What's the song? Man, sometimes I'll sing hymns. I'll sing spiritual songs. I'll sing the choruses. I'll just sing. If I don't know the words, I make up my own. Don't look at Brenda right now. I live that way. That's why she's normally telling me to shut up. Why? I only remember a verse or two, so I just make my own up. Man, I've heard enough hymns. I can make up my own songs. Amen? She goes, that's not how it goes. I always say, in my version, it does. I just keep on singing. Figure if I do it long enough, I can write my own hymns and claim them as my own. Praise God. Yeah, well, why would you? I'm just telling you, folks, when the Spirit of God is moving in your life, you got something to sing about. And not just at church. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to help you as your pastor. Nothing more exciting than to walk into a church and be in the service. And I can tell you a lot how things are going to go by the way you're singing. That's exactly right. So you think things are going to go good according to the message. You don't get it. You don't get it. Do you know that, let me give you a little history here. You know, most guests decide to come back to Central Baptist Church before the message is ever preached. Are you aware that no matter how good the message is, I've been to people's houses and said, man, that's like one of the best messages I've ever heard. Brother Lynn and Brother Scott was preaching. But anyways, And you don't ever see them come back. You're like, well, that's weird. If they love the message so much, how come they didn't come back? Most people make a determination the first 11 minutes of walking into these doors whether they're ever coming back again. One is your friendliness, whether you're a real Christian or not and going to be kind to somebody. One of the other things is whether or not they're going to feel the presence of God. That first 11 minutes, we're singing songs. As we're singing songs, if they're out there and all of a sudden it's just kind of like, we're just going through the motions, got to get through this so we can get to the preaching, let's go. I'm telling you something, folks, you're not preparing to receive the word of God. You ought to be singing from your heart, making a joyful noise, as the Bible says, for those of us who can't sing. But one of the ways I know that you're ready to hear the word of God and for God to mean business in your life is you open your mouth and you sing. And if you haven't done business with God throughout the week, then most likely you come Sunday morning, you're not ready to do business with God on Sunday morning. So you think everything's going to change when you show up on church. No, people that come forward and people whose lives are being changed by the Holy Spirit of God are people who do more than just come to Sunday mornings and a night service. They're people who throughout the week are reading their Bible, studying, and they got a song in their heart before they ever show up. And it just gets really influenced and pumped up when they're here. Why? Because you got a whole bunch of believers joining together. So you say, how do I know if the Spirit of God is filling my life? Number one, you'll sing. You'll sing. Number two, look at the next one. Not only will you sing, flip it up, you'll be thankful. Thankful. I like this one. You say, what do you mean? It's kind of weird. People that are filled with the Spirit of God, verse 20, says that they give thanks. They give thanks. It's a weird thing how people that have the Spirit of God also have this attitude of gratitude. You've heard that before. But they really do. There's this weird thing that happens. They appreciate. If it's too hot, they don't care. If it's too cold, they're fine. That was free. Seriously, I've heard people, I don't know if I'm ever going back to that church. It was too hot or too cold. I don't think I'm going to do that. You know how hard it is to please 450 people? It's impossible. Let me help you right now. You know, it just is. You know, most likely next week we won't turn it down. Why? Because I'm already hot. So I'm going to ask you, bring a sweater, bring a jacket. You know, do something. Why? What I'm saying. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't care about things like that. And people go to church, there's no air conditioning at all. Our missionaries, they'll give us stories constantly of people walking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 miles to church. Their family gets up early in the morning, walks, they don't have a vehicle, to get to a church building with no air conditioning. You know, in Africa and Asia, they sit there all day. Okay? Then they walk home. Nobody complains. Why? Because they're filled with the Spirit of God. They know what they're getting in the house of God is so important. They're like, I don't care. It don't matter to me. There's a gratitude that comes. But boy, when you complain about every little thing, don't like the songs, don't like this, don't like that, should have done that. Let me tell you something here. Let me tell you what the problem is. It's not everybody else. I always tell people, look at the common denominator. It's you. People filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible tells us, we're reading it here, are, guess what? They had a song and they're grateful. And then look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. There's one other element you cannot miss. Are you ready? People that are filled with the Spirit of God are submissive. We call this yielding. They have a yielded spirit. In other words, they don't walk in with pride. They don't walk in arrogance. They don't walk in saying, I want to be prominent. They don't walk in saying, I want to be lifted up. They always walk in saying, oh Lord, whatever you want for me today, I'll do. Lord, whatever I can do for you, I'll do. Lord, it's not about me, it's about somebody else. It's not about, did someone take my seat? It's not about what, you know, what's happening here or how come they didn't recognize me or any of that. It's all about one thing. It's about, oh Lord, what can I get from you and what can I do from you? It's a yielding. And it's interesting to me is it talks about submitting yourselves one to another. I always use that in marriage counseling. But if you follow it, the reality is this, it's still talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And people that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, one of the ways you know is this, you have no problem submitting to somebody else. You have no problem saying, let me serve you, Brother Richard. Man, I'm here to serve you, man. You have no problem saying, you first, because it's not about you. You have no problem with anything. Your whole spirit is, I'm here to yield and let the Spirit of God move in my life any way that I can. Now, let me tell you something. If that's the evidences, let me stop and thank you for just a minute. If the evidence is God's working in my life, I'm allowing him to work in my life, Let me back up to last week's message. When you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God, so he's there. If you're saved, he's already in you. If you're not saved, none of this will work. So if he's already in me, and I think he's working in me, let's take the Bible example. This is how we know he is. Number one, you got a song. Number two, you got a grateful attitude. And number three, you have a submissive spirit. And when people try to instruct you, you're a person that says, "Ah, thank you. Man, I needed that." Sometimes you come to church, you get a hard message. I don't know if you're aware of that. Sometimes there's something really difficult that comes down the pike. You know what someone filled with the Holy Spirit says? Thank you. You know what someone not filled with the Holy Spirit says? Can't stand him. Man, he irritates me. Yeah, there's something about him. They don't walk in and say, "Oh, yes, Lord, thank you for showing that to me." They walk out saying, "No one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me what to do." So I want to ask you, when you came in today, don't raise your hand. Rhetorical question. When you came in today, was there a bounce in your step? You just kind of full of joy. I mean, you had problems last week. There were tough things, but you came in, and when singing time was coming, nobody had to say, "Sing!" Man, you just kind of opened up, and you started following along the best that you could. You may not know the song, but you just started following along the best you could, and you started singing out. Why? Well, because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Did you come grateful? You found a seat? Gratefully, you found a parking place? You got to thank God that we didn't make the parking place way down there. We could have put all the parking lot down south. We had to walk 2 miles. You know, this is great. And did you come in with a thankful attitude for the day? And did you come in saying this, "Lord, it's not about me. Lord, I'm willing to change anything you want to change." If you did, then guess what? You're on your way to understanding what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you didn't, that's why I'm preaching today. Why? Because I'm going to help you. Everyone didn't come in that way. I'm going to help you as your pastor, okay? We're not going to point out who they were, but I'm just going to help you. I get the bird's eye view. One of the nice things about standing up on stage is I see you. By the way, you should remember that. That was a hint. I can see you. Do you see when we're talking, preacher? Yes. I know teens think preachers are blind and dumb. Oh, we see it. Okay, we're not stupid. You know, what do? We just go and pray that God kills you during the week. I mean, it's simple. Yeah, I just kidding. Well, of course you do. You tell them someone's not paying attention. Do you see us when we fall asleep? Every time. It's pretty obvious when you're going. Some of you are really good. It's more like reading the Bible. No, you're not. We were done with that verse 10 minutes ago. Amen. We see that. Now, I understand there's circumstances. I'm just playing with you today. But we see those things. So we see the obvious like that. You don't think we see as a pastor whether you're coming in and ready to receive the Spirit or be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, do you think we see that? Or do you think you can't tell? Matter of fact, I like to look at the people. I'm just going to give you another hint since we're confessing things. The people I look at are the people who are enjoying the message. They smile. They nod. If you don't do that, I don't look at you. You may think I am. I'm looking up past you, trust me. If you got a prune face, I don't want to look at you. You're discouraging me. You know, so if you think it's affected me, it's not. Why? As soon as I see it, I'm like, I'm not looking at them the rest of the service. You know, you just go on. Why, man? There's nothing more enjoyable to preach to people. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. Oh, amen. Oh, yeah, that's good. And you know, they want this. Listen, they want God to do something in their life. They want to be moved. They want to be filled. Let me tell you what we need at Central Baptist Church. We need people who say, "God, I want a lifelong journey that includes being filled with you on a continual basis." And that means, sure, there's some days not going to have it. That's reality. If you tell me you're filled every day, you're sick. I'm your pastor. I'm not filled with the Spirit every day. Okay? So if you are, you're a pretty unique individual. But more than not, our goal should be, "Lord, this day, fill me, use me. Lord, this day, I'm telling you, it'll change us like never before. It'll transform our Christianity like never before. If we really do what God said, that is this: don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God." In other words, don't be foolish. Don't be silly. Don't be influenced by the world and its influences. But let God move you. And then Sunday morning won't be your only time with God. Sunday night won't be your only time with God. You'll be with God all week long. And this will just be a wonderful culmination of what's been happening all week long as you meet with other believers to worship God. And you'll watch as I'm telling you. Now listen, you're going to see this in weeks to come. It'll change your life. Some of your Christianity is this. You're not missing the Spirit of God because if you're saved, he's there. What you're missing is his empowering in your life. And he wants to do something. The fact of the matter is we're not letting him. We're not letting him. And if your desire is really for God to move in your life and to really feel the power of God different times in your life, you want to be here for the weeks to come. Because Lord willing, we're going to take a journey that takes us on that path. And when we're all done, we're going to have more people at Central Baptist Church filled with the Spirit of God than ever before. Which means more people get saved. There'll be more joy. There'll be more excitement. There'll be more submitting. There'll be more thankful people. There'll be more people singing. Why? Because we won't be able to stop you. It'll just flow from your heart. Why? Because you're rejoicing in the Spirit. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. Lord, as we begin this journey of being filled with the Spirit of God, we see in Acts chapter 2 the first time the Spirit of God comes into the scene in the New Testament church. Jesus, you are gone. Last week we talked about you left your comforter, the helper. As he comes upon us, Lord, we see in this amazing, wonderful introduction to the Spirit of God here in the book of Acts. Lord, just that amazing power, wonderful changes. By the time we get to Ephesians, Lord, the Spirit of God has been here for some time. It's been probably 30 to 60 years, and Paul's still writing about be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He's given a contrast, Lord, that we not be taken up with the cares of this world and the things that influence us and make us feel good, but we allow the Spirit of God to make us feel good. My heart's desire is that your people that are believers here today would come to you and request and desire, Lord, a new journey that includes being filled with your Spirit. They'd see the evidences of that here in the weeks and months to come. Then, Lord, we pray for those here today that don't even possess your Spirit. That they were to die today, Lord, they would not go to heaven, but they would go to hell. Because they're truly not saved. They truly have not received your Spirit and a change in their life. Help them to come today, Lord, and experience that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are here today, I will say that. If you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven, that you have the Spirit of God, one of our ministers can take the Word of God and show you. They can help clarify whether you do or don't. But if you are here today, you know you're saved. I want to encourage you and remind you from last week, you have the Spirit of God. You have as much power as I have, as much power as any other minister here has. There is no difference. It's the same power. Same dunamis. It's the Spirit of God. It's just you have to want it. You have to ask for it. You have to pursue it. And if you do, he will fill your life like never before. So we begin by opening up the invitation. If you want to come and maybe begin the journey by just saying, Lord, I really do want to be filled more with your Spirit. Help me in the weeks and months to come to learn that. You come as we sing. Page 153, I Surrender All.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop and visit. We're just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to get to know you. But until that time, we wish you God's blessings, have a great week, and thanks you again for listening.